we live in a day and an age where everybody thinks that they're following Jesus, and they, well, the majority of Christians think that they're following Jesus. And you know, we've got to take assessment of, is that really my life? Am I really serving Jesus, or am I doing what I think is right? You know, many of you have seen a lot of those things going around on WhatsApps and all the rest. Someone sends you some statement or something, and it sounds so great, you know, but you know, there's a little catch. You know, pass this on to 10 other people, or and then you will be blessed, you know. And there's all these things, this jargon about what is serving God like, you know. And if we don't do it His way, we're doing it our way. And I thought, you know, there's a, just to really show what devotion looks like, I want us to have a look at Genesis 4. And in Genesis 4, it talks about Cain and Abel. And they bring a sacrifice to the Lord. And the Lord's not happy with Cain's sacrifice. And he's pleased with Abel's sacrifice. And we think, you know, they did what seemed right. They did what seemed good. But, well, Cain did. But he wasn't accepted, you know. And so there are, the reality is that if we're not doing things God's way, however pretty we can make it look, it's not going to be what the Lord wants. And so I'm going to read, Cain and Abel. So so Adam had intimate relationships with his wife Eve, and she became pregnant. Then she gave birth to Cain. She said, "With the Lord's help, I've produced a man." Later, she gave birth to his brother and named him Abel. And when they grew up, Abel became a shepherd, while Cain cultivated the ground. Then it was a time for harvest. And I want you to hear what happens over here. Cain presented some of the crops as a gift to the Lord. Okay? So that's what Cain, he presented some of his crops as a gift to the Lord. Abel also brought a gift, the best portions of the firstborn lambs from his flock. The Lord accepted Abel and his gift, but he did not accept Cain and his gift. This made Cain very angry, and he looked dejected, which is sad and depressed. "Why are you so angry?" the Lord said to Cain. "Why do you look so dejected?" And he said, "You and God said to him, "You will be accepted if you do what is right. But if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you, but you must subdue it and be its master." And we, most of us know that later on, Cain actually killed his brother. And, you know, sin actually crouched next to him and got him, and he fell into sin. And, you know, when we look at that, it looks, we can see there's, he did something that was good. You know, he presented. But there's little phrases there that I want you to pick up, and it says he presented some of his crops. So it sounds like there was maybe, and this is where we don't know, you know, except we got a few facts. So it sounds like there was maybe not really care in the way he did it. You know, maybe it was an afterthought. Ah, I've got to, you know, produce, I've got to give something to the Lord of what I've made, or what I've managed to produce from the ground. And it seems like, yeah, a bit of an afterthought. He knew, he actually, the Bible said, the Father said to him, he said, "You knew what was right to do, okay, but you didn't do it." And he says, "You knew what was right to do, but didn't do it. Out, Maybe there was an outward adherence. He did something on the outside. It was done, you know, he did it. But maybe there was also, maybe there was an inward rebellion against God, you know. Or maybe there was just a disregard and a indifference to the Lord in that, you know. But one thing is for sure, you know, from this, his heart was far from God. That's one definite we can take from it. His heart was far from God. And there was no true devotion to God and his ways. You know, just an outward show. And you can imagine, you know, there Abel is, he brought his gift and he did it in the way that the Lord wanted. And he said the best portions of the first lamb from his flock. So there was a bit of planning involved. There was a bit of thought involved. And so he brought the best portions. And these were, there's, and from his life, we can see something of a devotion to the Lord and his ways, and really a heart that really is close to God and wants to please the Lord, you know. And so from this story, it's really a story about devotion, you know, one that wasn't truly devoted. He had sort of like a way to serve the Lord, but he didn't really serve the Lord from his heart. And it just really is a great thing on what does devotion look like, you know, between two individuals, and it really settles on the heart. Where is our hearts before the Lord? And so, what is devotion? It's a wholehearted, undivided, and loyal commitment to God. You know, and what comes out of that is really love and obedience and service. When we see that, we can see that real devotion to the Lord. You know, and we can even compare it to tradition, because that's what tradition is. You know, you just do things out of habit. And sometimes we do that. Sometimes we find ourselves, even in our quiet times in the mornings or in the evenings, we just do it out of habit. There's not a longing and a devotion for the Lord and for Jesus and his presence. Jesus says in Mark 7, and he recaps what Isaiah says. And Isaiah said, Jesus said in Mark 7, verse 6 to 9, he says, "You hypocrites," and now he's talking to the Pharisees and the those that taught the law. He says to them, "You hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you, for he wrote, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship is a farce, and they teach man-made ideas as commands of God. For they ignore God's law for you ignore God's law and substitute your own tradition.'" And so this is what Jesus is saying. This is what they're doing. And then he said to them, "You skillfully sidestep God's law in order to hold on to your tradition." You know, and a tradition is really a doctrine, and really to have a bit of divine authority, though not in the scriptures. So it's something that we believe is given by God, but yet actually it doesn't even appear in the scriptures. And we see that so often, you know. We maybe quote even someone, you know, and actually we don't, it's not even in the scriptures, you know. And so there's this actually coming back to, what is the Lord saying? What is Jesus saying? And we see it in his word. And so there's this doctrine that we believe is possibly divine, got a divine authority on, but it's nowhere in scripture. And Jesus said, those who are stuck in that tradition, really, that's what he's saying. Those who are stuck in that tradition, those who have sidestepped God's law, Because they want to hold on to what is valuable. And that sounds just like our society. Isn't that so? This is sometimes what we do as well. So what do you believe? Because what you believe changes the way that you live. And if what you believe is not in Scripture, then you're not living God's way. And so Paul writes, you know, in 2 Timothy. And, you know, I think the message, as the messages came, even this evening, you know, about a hammer and God wanting to build, you know. A hammer has two uses, you know, to destroy and break down or to build something up, you know. And the message actually that Marie brought there is he wants to build us up, you know. And he wants to do that in each and every one of our lives. And so, you know, in 2 Timothy 3, it talks about God wanting to make us holy. And then this comes as a warning to us, actually. You know, and so in 2 Timothy, Paul writes to Timothy, and he says to him, he says, you should know this, Timothy, that in the last days will be difficult times. And he gives us a description of people in those times. And I want you to think, as I'm reading this, about just think about social media, think about your life, those that you contact with. And it says, you should know this, Timothy, in the last days there will be very difficult times, for people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving, unforgiving. Isn't that, we see that, like you just open Facebook or some social media and you can see the onslaught of this, you know. And they will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. And actually, as we were worshiping today, there was actually a heart's cry to love on the Lord, be lovers of God. And that's what the Lord calls us to be, lovers of God. And it says in verse 35, they will act religious. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. And so there's a rejection, actually, of the power of God to change a life to be godly. And that's what the Lord actually wants to do in each and every one of us. He wants to change us so that we can be transformed by His power, by His Holy Spirit, into those that worship Him, that lay down our lives for Him, that actually are devoted to Him. You know, how can I be devoted? Actually, it's the Lord. As I give myself over to the Lord and allow Him to work in my life, He makes me godly. He's the one that does the change in my life. And so Jesus wants that. You know, and you might say, well, what does devotion look like? And I wanted to give you this picture so that you can also just see, you know, it's not just words of like, actually, I'm devoted to the Lord. It's actions. It's how, what does that look like? And one of the best pictures of what devotion looks like is in Acts 2, verse 41 to 47. And we see in verse 41 that Peter preached, and there were 3,000 people that got saved. 3,000 people in a moment got saved. And you can imagine 3,000 people walking in here, just giving their lives to the Lord. And it's straight away, after that happens, you can imagine 3,000 people with all their issues of life and with all their, you know, what they've come from, you know, living a lifestyle that pleases themselves, coming into the church. What happened to those 3,000 people? It tells us in the next verse. And it says over there, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. And so all of those 3,000 plus the rest that were there, it says, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship. That's getting together. And I'm putting it out there because this is a picture of devotion. This is what devotion to the Lord actually looks like. When we give our life to the Lord, we should be asking ourselves, am I seeing this in my life? Am I seeing actually a devotion to what I read in the Word, the apostles' teaching? Am I devoted to what the Word says in my life? Is that affecting the way I make decisions? Is that what I'm holding to? Is that my course in life? The apostles' teachings, which is the Word of God, and to fellowship. That's hanging out with believers. That's getting together, yeah. That's connecting with believers. Is that part? Is that something that for you is like, it's a devotion because of Jesus in your life? And then it says, and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper. You know, there's this like living life together, enjoying meals together, and actually remembering Christ. Because that's what the Lord's Supper is, remembering what the Lord has done. Is there a devotion to that? And to pray. Because there's this, Lord, I can't do this. I need to be praying with the saints. I need to be getting together with those believers and praying. You know, the prayer of the effect, I'm trying to quote my scripture, that the prayer of the righteous man is powerful and effective. And so as we are allowing the Lord to work in us and we pray, we got his heart, you know, what do I pray? We're actually praying what the Lord puts in us. There's a devotion to him. And because there's a devotion to him, there's a devotion to say, hey, Paul, I'm praying for you. I'm in that situation you're in. I'm there. I'm praying with him for the Lord's will. There's this desire for the Lord. And then it says, a deep sense of awe came over all of them, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders, and all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared their money with those in need. And that's what we see, something of this living together, those that are not making it in a month. You know, there's this helping each other out so that we can actually, that there's something tangible of God amongst us. As we are devoted to him, there's a devotion to seeing those that are part of our fellowship that are actually eating, having a roof over their head. Yeah, there's that desire. And then it says, they worship together in the temple each day. There's like this, every day, there's like this desire to connect with believers in them. There's this desire to see the Lord do something in someone else's life. And it says, while they shared their meals with great joy and generosity, and all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to the fellowship those who are being saved. So there's this, actually, as we are devoted to the Lord, others are coming into this and experiencing God. Is your desire above all else to know Jesus and his way? Is there a devotion to his way in your life? You know, I'm going to quote R.T. Kendall, who's a theologian, and he was asked, you know, after 70, he's been in ministry when, you know, at the time of this interview, he'd been in ministry for 70 years, which, that's older than the majority of us. But being in ministry for 70 years, he was asked, what would you say to your younger self? Yeah. And his words were, I'm going to summarize it, but basically he was saying, you know, forget about all the, because he's highly, obviously, qualified as a theologian, a doctorate in theology and all this, and many other degrees, but yet he would say to himself, you know, forget about seminary, forget about all the education, you know, and actually read your Bible. Read your Bible and pray. And that's, in other words, that's getting to know Jesus and being with Jesus. That's all he's, after 70 years of ministry, that was would be his advice, you know. And it's simple advice, actually, that each one of us can take. You know, we can't know God without spending time with him. We can't know his ways without spending time with him. You know, Kegwin, as my wife, knows my ways. Without knowing me, spending time with me, she won't know my ways and what I want and what pleases me. And so there's this, without that, without actually pushing into those times with the Lord, actually we're not going to know the Lord. We're going to be, you know, like Cain, who just comes and does, you know, I'm going to present, you know, just some of the my crop, some of that to the Lord. But there's not a devotion to the King and to Jesus. Where's your heart? Does your heart, because it's really a position of the heart, devotion, you know? Because we can either be devoted or we can just be in tradition. And tradition, there's no heart for the Lord. But in devotion, there's a heart for the Lord. And so I want to encourage you. You know, the Lord has actually, even tonight, has said, I want to make you godly. I want to draw you into relationship. And this evening, that's, you know, that's his message to us, is actually his calling. Yeah. But I would like you, I'd like us to close our eyes, and I'm not going to ask you to come up front, but I'm going to ask you to just, in your time, because the Lord is calling us to know his word and know him through his word and spend time with him, to get together with him. That's his desire. And it's, where's our heart in this place? And if you examine your heart, if you say, Lord, show me what's in my heart here. Yeah, is I'm sitting here and I'm thinking about what I'm going to do tomorrow and what I'm, you know. Or is it really to connect with you? Am I just doing my dues? Or I'm actually, Lord, I want to connect with you. I want to know you more. I want to walk in deep relationship with you. And you know what? The Lord's waiting for you. Maybe even tonight as you go home. Maybe it's tomorrow morning when you open up the word that he's going to speak. And I want you to do business with the Lord Jesus. You know, he is unbelievable. He's worth every bit. He's the great treasure. Every bit of our lives, actually, we think that we've got so many things to do, but actually, our purpose is to know him. Our purpose is to walk with him. And so tonight, I just feel, just if tomorrow morning or tonight, you're going to come in and say, Lord, actually, I want to hear you. I want to walk with you like I've never walked before, that I want to, actually, I want to spend time with you. I want to know you. And maybe you can just indicate to me and say, that's me. I want to do that. Lord, I want to step closer to you because you've stepped close to me already. Even this evening, you've stepped close. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, let's present our hearts to the Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you that your word teaches us, God, just about devotion. Your word teaches us about loving you, God. And God, we thank you, Lord, even as we tonight, there be a commitment in our lives to know you, to know your word, Lord, to get into your word and know your desires, God, to hear you, Lord, to hold on to you, God. God, I thank you, Lord, just that you come by your Spirit. And that's what you do, Holy Spirit. You lead us into truth. You show us the Father and you show us Jesus. And Holy Spirit, I ask, God, just even for those tonight, Lord, I pray, God, just as at your next meeting, Lord, with them, I thank you that you show yourself, Lord, that you reveal yourself powerfully. God, that you come, Lord, and add another degree of understanding of who you are in lives tonight, Lord, and tomorrow, and this week, Lord. I pray it in your mighty name. Amen. Amen. I want to encourage you because that, you know, this is the message that actually just came out tonight. Is the Lord is wanting to build. He wants to take a hammer to, and it sounds harsh, wants to take a hammer to our lives, but it's not to destroy, it's actually to build up. He is so meticulous about building himself in us if we're going to allow him. If we're going to allow him in, you know, not slip into tradition, but actually slip into devotion to the King. Amen. Amen.